The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
T-minus 5 hours for the best sporting event in memory in months. For the best sporting event in quite some time, T-minus 5 hours until the NFL draft. And the trades are a-cooking. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation at 888-729-3776. 5 hours, and we'll get you ready. Every rumor, every potential trade, every anticipated pick. We've got the guests, the analysts, the friends, the sound, the ideas, and the takes you need to lead you up to the NFL draft. Coming up in this hour, I'm going to give you five players that should be moved, veteran players, today, and what their new homes should be. There are a lot of names moving around today, guys who are disgruntled or whose time has run out in their current location. But where should guys like Andy Dalton or Yannick Ngakoue end up in the NFL? I'll give you five players when their perfect landing spot. Plus, Brett Favre gave advice to Tom Brady. No, not about his current address. You heard the story where Tom Brady stumbled into the wrong house in Tampa, but gave him advice about whether or not it was cool to move on from being a legend in one location. You got to hear what Brett Favre said a little bit later here on the Will Cain Show. But it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. According to ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter, the Miami Dolphins have been trying to move up, not to the much-rumored spot of the third pick in the NFL draft where the Detroit Lions sit, but rather to the number one overall pick. The Miami Dolphins have been calling the Cincinnati Bengals over and over, at least twice, and tried to offer them some of the Dolphins' draft bounty. The Dolphins have 14 picks in this draft, and they want to see if a couple of those can be packaged to move up to number one. Why? I think one answer is obvious, and the answer requires some inspection. The obvious answer is they love Joe Burrow, just like everybody else. The quarterback out of LSU is as close as it gets to a can't-miss prospect at quarterback in this draft. The Dolphins, like me, you, and most everybody else, think Joe Burrow is a for-sure franchise quarterback. But the other thing this tells us, the one that requires a little bit more inspection, a little more of some onion layers peeled back, is that if, in the next 5 hours, the Dolphins do not trade up to number three with the Detroit Lions, who are willing, according to reports, to move back, to draft Tua Tagovailoa, then the Dolphins do not believe in the Alabama quarterback. First, let's deal with their desire to move up to number one. As I said, 14 picks. Could they package enough up? Many suspect the answer is no. The Bengals have been committed to Joe Burrow, and Dan Orlovsky, ESPN's football analyst, was on the Dan Le Batard show saying Burrow has earned that kind of commitment from the Bengals.
I would not do that if I'm the Bengals. I think Joe Burrow is going to be an absolute rock star in the NFL. I'm talking Metallica type of rock star. And if I'm the Bengals, I don't think there's any bounty of picks that realistically someone could offer me. Even if it's the third and fifth pick, I'm not doing it. I think Joe Burrow is head and shoulders above everybody in this draft class. Him and Tua are in a conversation of themselves, and I think he's even above Tua. Like, the fact that the greatest attribute a quarterback can have that is not a physical thing is the ability to never panic. To have this poise that is Tom Brady-like when it comes, it's indescribable. It's very difficult to put into words. And Joe Burrow just has this ability to never panic. Just this poise within himself and within his game. And if you're just not going to find that. It's a very rare trait. And so if I'm the Bengals, nope, I'm going to stay put and I'm going to draft Joe Burrow.
I agree. Joe Burrow has, in quotation marks, it. Whatever it is, Joe Burrow has it. Does Tua? Let's play that game. What do you think these guys turn into? That tells you whether or not it's worth it for either the Dolphins to trade up or the Bengals to trade back. No matter the cost, no matter the price, no matter the number of draft picks, that really is where this analysis begins, right? Who do you think they are? In 3 to 5 years, do you think Joe Burrow will be a top five quarterback in the NFL? I do. I think that it will translate into Joe Burrow being one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I know it's only been 1 year. I saw it. I saw it when he beat Texas. I saw it when he won the national championship. I've wondered if that it, in fact, is cockiness instead of confidence. I've wondered if it is a masquerade, a charade, a falsehood, cloaking insecurity. But I've talked to everyone. Every single draft analyst, every single front office insider, everyone who watched him in college football, and the answer has come back unanimous. It's real, Will. The confidence. It is real. On top of that, he's accurate. He has every bit of arm strength that you need. He can read a defense. Joe Burrow will be a top five quarterback in the NFL. How do you trade out of that? What draft bounty is worth it? On the flip side, do you think Tua Tagovailoa will end up being a top five quarterback in the NFL 3 to 5 years from now? Every eve of the draft, we believe every top 10 pick will be a Pro Bowler. Some will probably become Hall of Famers. And year after year, we realize those lofty expectations fall well short. I think Tua is going to be a good quarterback. I think he'll be probably a top half of the league quarterback. I don't know that he'll be a top 10 quarterback, and I don't think he'll be a top 5 quarterback in the league. I think there are concerns, obviously, over his health, concerns over the talent he had around him in Alabama, concerns on his willingness to leave the pocket and move around. I think Tua is going to be a good quarterback, but not somebody you are incapable of trading away from. So if I'm the Bengals, I don't know what kind of package you could start with. I don't know. We've played that game with Patrick Mahomes. We played that game with Dak Prescott. How many number one picks would it take to get that franchise quarterback? With Joe Burrow, if the Dolphins offered 3, would you do it? 888-729-3776. If the Dolphins offered 5, 18, 26, that's their 3 first round picks this year. Would you do it? I'll tell you what, a little bit later in the show, I have some analysis on teams who've walked into the draft with big-time capital the way that the Dolphins are this year. Has it turned into the foundation for a championship team? No, it hasn't. I'll lay that out for you a little bit later on the Will Cain Show. But if we don't believe that Tua is a top-five quarterback, then what do you do? Do you trade up to 3 to get him? Do you spend the 5th pick on him? Do you let him slide? Do you take the offensive tackle and build the core foundation of your team? If you believe that Tua is somewhere around 10 to 15 when it's all said and done among NFL quarterback ranks, is it worth it just to build your foundation and play quarterback roulette? If it's true there's a supply of quarterbacks, a glut in the market, as we've talked about over the last couple of weeks on the Will Cain Show, do you just say, let's roll the dice on Jameis? What if you put Cam behind a good foundation? What if we use the draft to fill out the rest of our roster and as other quarterbacks, Dalton, Winston, Newton, and others spin off from franchises that constantly upgrade and the supply outpaces demand in the NFL, we'll be okay. Because we'll churn in that middle ground. Perhaps Jameis turns in to the 13th best quarterback in the NFL. And that's not bad if Tua is roughly the 11th best, but we've got better talent around Jameis. So what do you believe Tua is? What do the Dolphins believe Tua is? We're going to find out soon, because if they're willing to trade up and use that draft capital to grab Joe Burrow, what if they're not willing to trade up 2 spots to number 3 to grab Tua? They will be sending us all the same message and the same analysis we're going through right now. They don't believe that Tua is a top quarterback. They don't believe that Tua is a difference maker. They will tell us so if he drops to 5. They'll sell you the idea that they're great poker players. They always knew the market would play out that way. But that's not the way the draft works. If you believe in your guy, you go and get him. We know they were willing to do that with Burrow. Are they willing to do that with Tua? If they'd go to 1 to get Burrow, will they not go to 3 to get Tua? If they don't, they thought he was just a guy. And that's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. You let me know what you think, 888-729-3776. It's not just college players that could be on the move today. NFL veterans, in exchange for draft picks, big names, in exchange for draft picks, I'll tell you who they are and where their perfect home would be. That's coming up on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name? Check. Birthday? Social security? Is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag. Done.
GEICO. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Yannick Ngakoue, Jamal Adams, Andy Dalton, Trent Williams, not just college players on the move today. You can get yourself a bargain basement price on a big-time vet as well. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Tune in to The Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90 Chicago Bulls dynasty. The series continues this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. And listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen Jacoby immediately following the broadcast, presented by State Farm and AT&T. Available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. I'm going to give you five players that you might be able to get for a song today in just a moment here on The Will Cain Show. But let me hear from Wyatt in Alabama. What's up, Wyatt?
Hey, Will, this is Wyatt.
Yes, it is.
You were talking about Tua and Burrow's, but if you look at the film, Burrow is throwing behind his guys and Tua's leading them into it. You were talking about stats and how all the talent Tua had. That's when tape comes into play, where Tua's leading his guys into throws and putting it on the money. So if you look at the tape, how is Burrow better than Tua?
Well, I saw a fair amount of Burrow, and I don't remember him throwing the ball behind his receivers. In fact, I saw him converting enough and leading his receivers enough to lead them past multiple big-time programs on their way to a national championship. And I know I'm just reciting what they ended up accomplishing last season, but if you think Burrow ascended to the top of the NFL draft charts by throwing the ball behind his receivers, then you have a very low opinion of every single person who gives you draft analysis, because there's not a single one, not one, that has Tua over Burrow.
I'm not saying Burrow's terrible, but there are definitely some throws that Tua made that Burrow could not. I remember watching the Alabama-LSU game. He threw the ball behind Ja'Marr Chase. If he leads him into the throw, it's another touchdown. It ups his stats even more.
All right, I appreciate the call, Wyatt. There's interesting ways to debate or to reinforce your position or to knock down the opposing position. And one of them is, like we heard from that caller from WEEI the other day when he was talking about Rob Gronkowski. And what was the compliment that he paid to Gronkowski? He said he was halfway decent sometimes. And there's Wayne telling us that I'm not saying Burrow is terrible. Way to move the bar. No one's arguing on that point. What they're telling you is he's the best. And he is. That was Wyatt. This is Wayne in Canada. What's up, Wayne?
Hey, Will. How you doing?
I'm good.
Good. I've got a crazy scenario for you to think about. Miami keeps their fifth-round pick. Detroit wants to trade down. So Miami trades a few of their other – one of their late first-round picks and something to Detroit to keep their third-round pick. Now, Miami makes a deal with Cincinnati. Cincinnati picks Chase Young first. You know that Washington's not going to take Burroughs. So now Miami gets Burroughs at 3, and then they can give Cincinnati can take Tua and with the 5th pick.
I'm confused. Are you telling me what ends up happening is Cincinnati gets Tua and Chase Young, and Miami ends up with Joe Burrow?
Right.
Okay, I appreciate the call. I think it's you're kind of banging around something that's actually been spitballed. There was some talk that Miami wasn't trying to trade up to number three for an offensive tackle. What they were really trying to do was to get to number three with the Lions and keep the fifth pick. That's what there's some reports slash rumors about. They were trying to keep three and five, and use 3 and 5 to trade up to 1 to get Joe Burrow. Now, it's all off because Cincinnati doesn't want that. They believe Burrow is a franchise quarterback, not just a franchise quarterback, but like I explained, a potential top 5 quarterback in the league. As Dan Orlovsky explained, a Metallica-level rock star in the league. And they may like Tua, but there's a delta there between the 12th best quarterback potential in the league and a top fiver. A delta that's probably not made up for with just another random first round pick. A little bit later on the Will Cain Show, let's explore this from the Cincinnati side. What would be enough? What would be enough? Like, what kind of trade bounty I threw on the table would get you to balk, to get you to step off that first pick? The answer has to be whatever compensates for the delta between a top five quarterback and, say, 10th, 11th, 12th best quarterback. Whatever you think the delta is between Burrow and Tua. But if you decide that's palatable, we were talking about this on our pre-show meeting, Nuno, Bubba, Mike A, and myself. What Cincinnati would have to do is go ahead and draft Burrow at 1 and then see if Tua falls to 5, because that's not guaranteed, right? And then when Miami has that, then switch, because you'd want to come out with your quarterback if you're Cincinnati. But I don't think they do it anyway, because I think they think the delta's too great, and there's no draft bounty to put on the table. But we'll see if we can make that trade happen a little bit later here on the Will Cain Show. But draft picks aren't the only thing on the move today. They're not the only way to get your team better. I think there are some fascinating names that you can get for discount prices today. Here are 5 big-time names in the NFL that are rumored to be capable of being moved if the price is right. Here you go. These are the names, and I'm going to give you the teams that they should land with. First of all, Leonard Fournette. It's suspected the Jacksonville Jaguars are willing to move the workhorse running back. Now, we know what running backs are worth. I saw a fascinating little graphic from the 2005 NFL draft. Pick number 1, Mel Kiper had his best available. His top 5 players in the draft, 3 of them were running backs. Ronnie Brown, Cadillac Williams, and Cedric Benson. Would never happen today, because running backs aren't that valuable. So what does Fournette bring you back? Not much. What would you give up? Even, I mean, he's a workhorse. He's a number 1 running back, right? What would you give up Fournette? A 3rd rounder, perhaps? I'll tell you the team. I toyed with 2 teams in the AFC East. The New England Patriots, but I settled on the Buffalo Bills. I think the Patriots could try to reinvent themselves as a running team. I think it kind of fits what Belichick likes anyway. And if you're going to take a step down in quarterback, build that running game. But the Bills with Devin Singletary, and last year they had Frank Gore, their running team around Josh Allen, Fournette for a 3rd. I like that home in Buffalo. It's time to go win the AFC East. Then, let's stay in the AFC East, because I give you number 2, Andy Dalton. I read today from Diana Rossini that the Bengals and Dalton have a great amount of mutual respect, so he's not going to be moved anywhere that he doesn't want to go. But I think Andy Dalton, too, the New England Patriots, makes a lot of sense. The public thinks, I think most people think Andy Dalton's garbage. He's not. I think he's a good quarterback. In fact, I think he's, when I say good, I think he's in that range that we talked about where Tua ends up. I think he's a little lower than that. Let's call him 15 to 20. And under Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, and with a good support system, I think Andy Dalton would be a pretty dang decent quarterback that would fit right in New England. Number 3, Jamal Adams. That rumor's been floating for years, and I think it's time to do it. Jamal Adams to the Dallas Cowboys for the 17th pick in this year's draft. One number 1 for Jamal Adams. Mike A., our boy, loves the Jets. I don't think he'd do it. And I'm not ready to just sell yet as the Cowboys on the 17th pick, but I would sell that. The 17th pick for Jamal Adams, done. Yannick Ngakoue of the Jacksonville Jaguars is number 4. I think the rumors are probably the best spot. The Las Vegas Raiders. Apparently the Raiders want to give up the 19th pick, but the Jags want the 12th pick in the draft. He's not worth the 12th. 19th is about right. We have comps. Frank Clark was traded. Dee Ford for a 2nd. If it's the Raiders or the Seahawks, somebody that needs a pass rusher in the back half of the first round, that's the place for Yannick Ngakoue. And finally, this is the one that needs to happen. Number 5, Trent Williams, the disgruntled offensive tackle from Washington. 3 teams, and I'll give you the landing spot. The Browns, the Jets, and the Bucks need to go all in. A The reported price is a second round pick. If the Jets don't end up one of those four top offensive linemen this draft, send your second to Trent Williams. Maybe do it anyway. But the Bucs are the team that really should, because you want to put a rookie protecting Tom Brady, or you'll get a proven guy in Tom Brady. The Bucs need to send their second round pick for Trent Williams yesterday. That's five big trades, five big names that could happen as early as today or right after the draft that I think should happen right now. All right, coming up, we have one of the biggest Justin Herbert champions. It's Mike Tannenbaum. I want to ask him how he thinks the first round's going to go. We're counting down the clock. What's the latest he's hearing? What he anticipates happening in the first round of the NFL draft? That's coming up on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
We got less than 5 hours. Let's see if we can get exactly what's going to happen here in the first round of the NFL draft. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. Is Joe Burrow destined to be a Bengal? Find out tonight. The 2020 NFL draft is on ESPN Radio, presented by Marathon and California Almonds. First round coverage begins at 7 Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. Now on our phone lines is ESPN NFL front office insider Mike Tannenbaum. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Will. How you doing?
Hey, man, I know you're big on Herbert. I know you believe in him. Let me take Tua for a second. I know you've also been concerned about the medicals. What do you think happens here? Do you expect the slide, and how far could the slide go? I read one mock draft, and I know mock drafts are a dime or dozen, but I saw one where he falls all the way to the Dolphins' second pick at 18. Do you think there's a floor on a Tua slide?
Gosh, it's outside the top 10, despite the fact that there is a medical concern. I think he's too talented. The quarterback-driven league, Will, I think at the end of the day, someone will take him in the top. I think the Chargers could be in that discussion. But, boy, this is a very complicated situation. And talking to a lot of teams around the league, the ones that have quarterbacks, you hear this collective sigh of relief that, boy, I'm glad I don't have to deal with this.
Mike Tannenbaum here on the Will Cain Show. A little bit of rough phone connection here. I think you got a cell phone that's kind of bugging out on you a little bit. But I heard you. You didn't think the floor was outside the top 10 despite the medicals there. What about this, Mike? I don't know how we anticipate this. I'm seeing more and more indication that this is going to be a surprise draft. There's going to be trades. I'd be really nervous about pulling off a trade with this technological environment. Do you think we should be a little bit more pessimistic on the idea that trades are going to get executed with everybody on their Zoom call?
Well, I've been there, and I would want to make sure I have plenty of time. The extent that we see trades in the top 10, a lot of those discussions last night, they happened this morning. And I think if we're talking tomorrow, we'll talk about two things, either less trades than usual or the ones that happened agreed upon before the draft actually started.
All right, Mike's going to be part of the ESPN Radio draft coverage. So let's do this, Mike. I want you you're real plugged in. I know you like the draft. What do you think is going to be the biggest surprise tonight in the first round?
Despite a historic deep receiver class, Will, I wouldn't be surprised if six of them first. I think the four tackles go early. So even though we're seeing depth at both tackle and receiver, I think we'll see a play.
Okay, I'm going to try this one more, Mike. I think outside of Tua, who is the top prospect in all these mocks and all these big boards seem to have the same guys in the top 10? Who's the one that gives you the biggest pause? It's all the same names. It's Okuda, it's Brown, it's the four tackles. Who is the one that you would have, outside of Tua, the biggest concerns about?
Probably Becton, you know, just from a standpoint, Will, that he's a really talented player. Obviously, we see that at the combine, Will. But just from, if you cut him in half, does he love football? Is he a world-class competitor? Do we know that he'll walk glass backwards to get to the facility? Things I'm not sure about with Mekhi Becton. And because of that, I probably would go to one of those other tackles where it's a safer bet.
Guy like Isaiah Simmons, linebacker slash safety, slash slot corner, I guess, out of Clemson. A guy who says if you can only have 53 guys on your roster, I make it so you can have 56. A guy like Isaiah Simmons, in the end, is that a real asset for you? Or is that sort of jack of all trades, master of none concerns? Like, I don't know exactly where I put him, or, okay, I put him in my defense and center everything around him. Which way do you read that with Simmons?
I like it. When I've been around defensive guys like Parcells, Belichick, Mangini, Rex Ryan, when they can take a guy like Simmons and make him game plan specific and move him around where he's blitzing, he's covering 40 yards down the field, that puts a lot of pressure on the opposing team's offense to account for a player like Simmons. So we saw a guy like Deebo Samuel become a positionless offensive player. I think we're seeing a new wave of positionless defensive players in Isaiah Simmons.
Yeah, he seems to be a difference maker. So I'm going to keep asking questions. Mike, your phone's doing a little bit better now, so I can hear you exactly what you're saying. Here are the things that I've understood. Tell me if you agree with it. It's Okuda and Henderson at the cornerback position, and then a pretty large drop-off. But I've started to see that A.J. Terrell out of Clemson could be climbing into that group. I'm going to make some bold predictions a little bit later on what I think will happen in the first round. I'm going to give a hint. I think there will be three cornerbacks taken before the three receivers are gone. So what do you think about that when it comes to cornerback?
Ooh, that's interesting. You know, Terrell's in that discussion. Christian Fulton's in that discussion. Some teams actually have Trayvon Diggs from Alabama as the third corner. So that's a heated debate around the league, just like who the third receiver is. You know, when you talk about Ruggs, Lamb, and Judy, there's going to be – that's a really interesting discussion. I think I'll take the three receivers before the third corner.
In fact, I saw you on your Twitter feed. You like Justin Jefferson a lot, too, and you said he could be in the first half, LSU wide receiver, right? First half of the first round?
Yes, because of his versatility, Will. He could play inside, outside, very productive this year, highly competitive. I think he's a player that's a little bit underrated. He may be the fourth receiver. I know a lot of teams are really high on him, and he's moving up teams' boards right now.
Okay, so let's finish off with just a few things about what do you think is going to happen with Jordan Love. I mean, we have no idea where to project this guy. What teams and where in the draft do you expect Jordan Love to go?
I think for his sake, Will, I really hope he goes to a team like a Green maybe where he could sit for a year, learn an offense, get well coached, not a rush to play him. He's really talented. I hope he goes to a place where he can grow and develop and maximize his talents, because if you go back a year ago, the 2018 tape, he's a top 10 pick. He just didn't play as well this year for Utah State, and I think a year sitting behind a really good quarterback would do him well.
Okay, and last thing, you've been, as I said when I started this interview, on Justin Herbert. What do you expect to happen with the top three quarterbacks in the top potentially 5-6 picks of the draft? How do you think those three quarterbacks in that top 5 or 6 picks plays out?
I think when it's all said and done, I think it's going to be Joe Burrow 1. I think Herbert goes 2nd, and then Tua, because of this complicated injury situation, I think he goes 3rd.
Do you think somebody jumps up for those, or they fall to 5 and 6 for Herbert and Tua?
Ooh, boy, I wish I had the answer to that. I think when it's all said and done, the teams stay where they are despite all the chatter, and I think they come off in that order with Miami and, if I had to guess, the Chargers. But we'll see here in a couple of hours. Should be really exciting, Will.
Okay, ESPN NFL front office insider Mike Tannenbaum. He's on ESPN's radio draft coverage tonight. Go listen and enjoy. Thanks, Mike.
All right, Will.
All right, take care. His phone cut out right there at the last minute, too. All right, Brett Favre had some advice for Tom Brady. Apparently they talked at the Super Bowl. Did y'all hear the coronavirus was going around then as well? I mean, see the latest thing? Lady in California apparently died of coronavirus on February 6th. Thing has been here for much longer than we think and affected many more people than we think. But that's neither here nor there. On Brett Favre talking to Tom Brady at the Super Bowl, and he gave him advice. And Tom asked him a question about what he should do in his career. And I'll play the sound for you next on The Will Cain Show.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Brett Favre had some advice for Tom Brady on his offseason moves. You can hear it next on The Will Cain Show. But Al from Alabama is on the phone lines. What's up, Al?
What's up, Will?
You tell me.
Man, first time, long time. But thanks. Anyway, I'm going to talk about Joe Burrow. If I was Cincinnati, I would trade Joe Burrow, make the trade with Miami for the fifth pick, the 17th, second round this year, and a second round next year. Because I don't believe in Joe Burrow.
You do not.
He wasn't able to beat out Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State. He had a bad season the year before last at LSU. Mm-hmm. A blind squirrel will find a nut every now and then. So, you know, I don't
That's
believe
a hell
in him.
Of a nut that blind
just,
squirrel found. He found a big
nut. I just
nut.
Don't believe in him. You know, I don't believe he's the quarterback that everybody think he is. I think if Cincinnati will trade back to the fifth pick and the 17th, and they'll be able to get a quarterback in either one of those picks this year. They already got what they call the Red Rocket still there. They can play him this year and let the quarterback sit. Next year they'll have them a quarterback.
And who are you hoping's there at 5 or 18? Which quarterback are you willing to take for Cincinnati in that scenario?
Either one. I'll take Tua or either Herbert. Either one All of right. them sitting there. I prefer right. Tua. Let him sit for a year and let him play next year.
Okay, Al, I appreciate the call. I actually like the analysis. Of all the analysis, I think that's the best one when it comes to Joe Burrow. I don't agree with it, but I think it has some value. And that is, hey, man, it was 1 year. Todd McShay, who, by the way, ESPN's NFL draft analyst, Todd McShay, if you haven't seen him lately, he hasn't been on this show, he hasn't been on other shows, and he won't be on the NFL draft coverage tonight. It's because Todd McShay just put out a message a few hours ago saying he has come down with coronavirus. He's home recovering. I believe he's on the mend to some extent, but Todd McShay sadly has coronavirus, won't be part of our NFL draft coverage. But Todd McShay said he had never seen an improvement in 1 year like what he just saw from Joe Burrow. He said a year ago, he had Burrow as a fifth-round quarterback. Now, he acknowledges he's his number one quarterback now, but he'd never seen that kind of improvement in 1 year in all of his history of covering the draft. So I think Al's point holds some water. You're putting a lot of stock in 1 year. Didn't beat out Haskins at Ohio State, had a bad first year at LSU, had an outstanding, giant nut for that blind squirrel to find. Second year in LSU. I thought it was enough to convince me. What I saw in that second year, I found amazing. I believe in Joe Burrow. We'll get into those trade details. Al's willing to do the deal. He's willing to take whoever falls, Tua or Herbert. He suggested 2 ones and 2 twos, right? Yep, 2 ones this year. Plus a second this year and a second next year is, I believe, what Al just offered up. I think it would take a lot more than that for Miami to get Cincinnati's attention. Let's talk about that later on the show. What would get Cincinnati's attention? That'll be later on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Brett Favre ran into Tom Brady at the Super Bowl, and they talked, gave some advice. Here's what Brett Favre said on SiriusXM NFL Radio about his conversation with Tom Brady.
I spoke to Tom briefly at the Super Bowl. You know, they did the top 100. We had a chance to visit a little bit. And I said, I didn't say, what are you going to do? I just said, hey, if you're thinking about going elsewhere, I said, go for it. And he asked me if I had it to do over again, would I do it the same way? And I would. You know, it wasn't as successful as I'd hoped in New York. But I'm glad I had that opportunity. His situation obviously is different than mine. There's no reason to think that they didn't want him back in New England. It'd be dumb not to, and I know they wanted him back. But I think he just wanted to just try his hand at something else and knowing he can still play, just see if he can, you know, do the magic that he's done with New England with another team. I certainly think he can.
That's Brett Favre on SiriusXM NFL Radio on his advice to Tom Brady. I think it's good advice. Go for it. You won't tarnish your legacy. Your legacy is set already. Go see if you can do what you did in New England somewhere else. Have some more fun along the way. Favre said he didn't regret one bit the fact that he moved a few teams late in his career and found some success, I might add, in Minnesota, and perhaps would have found some success in New York had he not been injured. I think this will be a success for Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. Kevin from Phoenix is on the phone lines. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, Will, what's going on?
Hey, man.
Are you going to draft, or are the Bengals going to draft Joe Brady along with Joe Burrow?
Nah, he's in Carolina. I don't think they can pick him.
Oh, well, how are we going to gauge Joe Burrow's success without the success of Joe Brady with him? And that's basically what it ultimately came down to.
Yeah, but wouldn't you agree? You could kind of do that with anybody, couldn't you? I mean, any college quarterback who's found success under an offensive coordinator.
Did you just say that he had a drastic change in 1 year?
Yes.
So how are we proving on Joe Burrow if we're saying his success was tied to Joe Brady? The Bengals don't have a great offense.
I didn't say his success was tied to Joe Brady. I did say it coincided with his relationship with Joe Brady, but I think everybody's success is tied to their situation often. I'm just not telling you. You choose to believe one thing, I choose to believe another. Is the real Joe Burrow the guy who couldn't beat out Dwayne Haskins, had a bad first year in LSU, or is the real Joe Burrow the guy that we saw this year? I think the one that we can see in the pros is the one we saw with Joe Brady without Joe Brady. Kevin, that's what I think.
Why are we dismissing Tua all of a sudden? How are we all of a sudden dismissing Tua when he's got the track record?
I'm not dismissing Tua.
Joe Burrow has the one season. Tua has been doing it. We were talking a couple years ago, tank for Tua. Wasn't that a thing?
It was a thing. I think Burrow had a better year. I think Joe Burrow's the better prospect. I think Burrow's the better quarterback. I think Burrow will be the better pro. C.D. Lamb, top wide receiver, next on the Will Cain Show.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to the Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.